Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano in New York City. Four victims are dead and another wounded after a mass shooting in a Midtown office building. One of those killed was a New York police officer. CBS News New York's Jenna DeAngelis takes us to the scene where the shooter killed himself.
When lockdowns were lifted and people poured out of these buildings, you could see on many faces confusion, shock, and horror.
I heard all these loud bangs. No idea what it was. I turned around and all these people were like running.
He says he was coming down the escalators when he heard gunshots and ran out.
I came out 5 minutes later. One of my coworkers came out and he said he saw two people get shot.
The building, which contains offices for Blackstone, the NFL, and KPMG, among others, was placed on lockdown.
The gunman's motivation isn't clear. In Nevada, a suspect is in custody following the shooting deaths of three people outside of a casino in Reno. Sparks Police Chief Chris Crawford says the suspect killed two people at the parking valet, then went after a third.
Another victim was driving through the parking lot, and the suspect opened fire on this person, striking the victim. That victim was pronounced deceased on the scene.
The chief says the suspect had no connection to those victims. With Palestinians on the brink of starvation in Gaza, CBS News correspondent Deborah Patta reports Israel is under growing pressure to allow an increase in humanitarian aid.
Jordan and the UAE have started parachuting in supplies, but it is often hazardous. The World Food Program says the most efficient way is to allow hundreds of trucks unhindered into Gaza for a sustained period.
President Trump and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen have announced a trade deal raising tariffs on most European goods coming into the U.S. to 15%. Thibault Lorty is spokesman for the American Chamber of Commerce to the EU.
A 15% tariff is still a significant increase in the cost of doing business across the Atlantic. So you need to be thinking about companies on both sides of the Atlantic that will be impacted because the supply chains are so integrated.
Planned Parenthood gets a win for now in one of its battles with the Trump administration.
A federal judge in Boston has extended a preliminary injunction she granted last week, ordering the government to continue to reimburse Planned Parenthood with Medicaid funds for such services as birth control and cancer screenings. U.S. District Court Judge Indira Talwani said a provision included in the president's signature tax and spending legislation that the administration is using to defund Planned Parenthood is likely unconstitutional because it punishes the organization's health center for providing abortions. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
The Brewers back in first place.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds and showers and storms developing in the overnight. Heavy rainfall our biggest concern, and morning lows in the upper 60s. On Tuesday, showers, a few storms around, partly sunny skies with a northwest wind, highs in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 70.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, we'll talk to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, and Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
See our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Monday, one and all. It's a scorcher out there again. Hope you are hydrating as Wisconsin heats up today. We have a pretty hot show for all of you as well. Speaking of the heat, I'm Maggie Dawn, of course, your host. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got to start out with the governor's race watch because it seems to change every day. So very exciting. And it matters to each and every one of us. One of the things that I want us to keep our collective eyeball on is the old rewriting of history, the rewriting of voting records, the rewriting of policy positions as candidates enter the race. It needs to get called off on both the left and the right. We're going to do a bit about that today on the show. I've got two great guests with me, Matt Rothschild, of course, the host of Wisconsin Forward. He'll be with me for the first hour. And Dan Schaefer, our political editor, will join Matt and I for the first half hour to bring us all up to speed. And then Matt and I are going to go on in on one particular potential candidate for governor who seems to be readying his stump speech. And it is riddled with lies, half-truths, and misdirections. We'll break that all down for you at 4:30. At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by the CEO of Mueller Communications. Her name is Lori Richards. She's a longtime friend of mine. I was talking to Lori the other day about the status of women in leadership, specifically the C-suite, specifically in the private sector, and the fact that Donald Trump's made-up emergency about should we have more people of differing backgrounds in leadership positions, answer yes, has turned into a slow-moving purge of black and brown folks and women out of C-suites across the country. What that means for you and your family, your daughters, in fact, what that means for your wages here in the state of Wisconsin, Lori and I will discuss in that 5 o'clock hour. But welcome, Matt. It's great to have you back on the show. Lovely
always
to
a pleasure.
See you.
And
welcome, welcome, Dan.
Hey, Maggie, thanks so much for having me. Always a treat to join you here on the Maggie Dawn Show in the afternoon.
Well, I have to say, I'll start with you, Dan. I was a little bit relieved to hear from our former Governor Walker that he will not be tossing his hat into the ring. Let's hear a little bit of sound from our former Governor Scott Walker about his focus elsewhere than a third, fourth, or whatever numbered run it would be for the governorship. Here's Scott Walker.
I'm not going to be a candidate for governor in 2026. In fact, I'm going to continue my work as president of Young America's Foundation. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, go to yaf.org. And if you're a student, we'd love to have you sign up for one of our programs. So, as I mentioned, I'm not going to be a candidate, at least not next year. That doesn't mean I'll never run again. In fact, I'm actually a quarter century younger than Joe Biden. That means I've got plenty of time, and I don't need an auto pen. Looking ahead, though, Tonat and I will do everything we can at our home here in Wisconsin to ensure that we elect a common-sense conservative as governor in next year's election. I hope you do the same.
Oh, yes. There's our former governor getting in some cheap shots. I haven't looked up his salary at Young American Foundation, but I am certain, 100% certain, that it pays more than the governor's office. He's making quite a sweet penny doing that consulting business. Dan, your reactions to the former governor's announcement?
Yeah, so what was shorter then? Scott Walker's fake run for governor in 2025 or his actual run for president in 2015? Neither seems to have lasted particularly long. And I think Scott Walker, this time around, he's just doing this for the attention, right? Like, he never actually had any intention of running for governor. But, you know, so many people in the Wisconsin political media universe like to give some attention to Mr. Scott Walker. And he sure got some over the past few days following Tony Evers' announcement. But I never took any of those cryptic tweets about running again seriously, and you know, just spent, what was it, 3-4 days just you know, spinning their wheels about this. And there are many other candidates far more deserving of our attention.
Indeed. Matt, your reactions?
Well, it was ominous when he said at least not next year, so he's still wanting to run again. I mean, it is kind of an incurable virus. When you get political power, you want to get it some more. But also, it was kind of a pathetic little video that he didn't even bother to do a take two on because he stumbled in the middle of it, just as an audio guy saw that and said, wow, man, why don't you 5 more minutes? Won't kill you. So he actually literally phoned it in, and phoned it in badly.
Phoned it in badly, and not for nothing. The isthmus back in, let's see here, this was 2019, just as Scott Walker was announcing his new job with the Young America Foundation, reported that his predecessor in that role of leadership was earning slightly more than $1 million a year in total compensation. So nothing like an advocacy organization where the president is taking down a cool 7 figures. Ah, yes, Scott Walker, the working man. No, not so much. Not so much at all. Let's talk about some of these other candidates. Matt, there is a whole slew of Democrats that have half announced, are thinking about it. Who is really a bright spot that you think is going to bring some important perspectives to the Democratic primary, in your view?
Well, I think the two who have announced, or one is formally announced, Sarah Rodriguez, Lieutenant Governor, and David Crowley, Milwaukee County Exec. Those are two good candidates with great resumes for the job, bring new perspectives to the job, and would make it interesting. I think it's going to be a tough battle. I love primaries. I love competitive primaries. This is going to be a really competitive one. I think there are other people who are going to join, but those two make for a good start.
Dan, these competitive primaries really make me long for top five voting, and where people can cross party lines so that we can hear from so much more of Wisconsin than just folks that are Democrats. Are you concerned at all, Dan, when you start to look at this primary field and there are certain to be more Democrats than County Executive Crowley and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, who, by the way, will be joining this fine program tomorrow? Everyone mark your calendar. Not to be missed, that competitive primary may in fact push candidates more left because of this antiquated and frankly unfair way that we still operate primaries in this state.
Yeah, I do think it causes certain complications with that. But I do wonder if it is more of an ideological question of, you know, center versus left when it comes to Democrats here. I wonder if it's going to be a little bit of a regional question, too, because you talked about Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. You know, I think when I talk to people about potential candidates even before this and since the announcement last week, I think there are a lot of people in and around Milwaukee who have a really good opinion, really positive opinion of the county executive around here. But if you go to different parts of the state, I do wonder if people really know who he is and the work that he's been doing. So I wonder if part of this primary is like, okay, if David Crowley has certain support in Milwaukee, let's say, Sarah Rodriguez, she's from Waukesha County, might have some support there. We know there's going to be some candidates from the Madison area that are going to be announcing. Wouldn't be surprised to see a couple names even this week about that. I wonder, who's going to be able to have their message resonate in places like the Fox Valley, in places like Western Wisconsin? Is there going to be a regional component to this primary as it takes shape as well? Because I think in the early going here, it's a very Madison-Milwaukee heavy list that many of us have talked about.
Folks, that's Dan Schaefer, political editor here at Civic Media. We've got Matt Rothschild. They are my special guests in this first half hour, an hour discussing who's in, who's out, who's a maybe still on the fence for the governor's race in 2026. It is certainly going to be interesting. Contested primaries on both sides coming from both parties. A truly open race. Some would say a harbinger of what is to come for Democrats further down the line. Folks, if you want to get your two cents in on any of the candidates or maybe will runs, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And I've got a specific question for all of you out there that are very progressive, that consider yourself very left. What do you think about trying to bring the party together? What do you think about that regional dynamic that Dan was just describing? Do you believe that we need a Democratic gubernatorial candidate going into the general election that can talk across Wisconsin's so-called regional divides, that can look to unite middle-class folks and people that have bosses and actually earn paychecks and don't have trust funds or buildings with their names on them, who can speak to the issues that are common for all of us, no matter where we're from in the state? Matt, your thoughts on that? Any concerns, again, given the very purplishness of Wisconsin and the need for whomever the Democratic candidate is to be able to pull from a wide base of support, including what I'm going to call good faith, more centrist conservatives?
Yeah, I posted on Facebook today, just, I'm going to be on Maggie's show, who do you want to run? And I did get several people saying, we need someone who can appeal to folks in rural Wisconsin. So I think that is a solid point that both you and Dan are making. On the leftist question, I'm a leftist, so I'll cop to that. So I think it's possible to run a progressive Democrat in the Robert La Follette tradition who can appeal to people across the board on issues of, who's running your life, the corporations have too much power, we all should have health care, kind of Bernie Sanders, AOC kind of stuff, and get people in the middle and get independents. So I think it's possible to win that way, too.
Is it possible to win that way? How do we craft that message? Such a hot topic. You want to get your thoughts in, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. So Scott Walker is out. Looking on the Republican side, who is in? And I think the two candidates so far that are definitely in, Bill Berrien, a former U.S. Navy SEAL, former supporter, and former is the interesting part here, of top five primary voting and ranked choice voting, used to belong to a group that advocated for those things here in the state of Wisconsin and, in fact, supported legislation introduced in 2023 to achieve just that, as well as Washington County Executive Josh Shoman. It's very interesting to me. I see both of those Republican candidates seemingly trying to warm up and kind of court the Trumpian-styled voter or Trump's supporters. And the question that occurs to me first, Dan, and we're going to have about 30 seconds, and of course we'll come back to this, ladies and gentlemen, is this. Is Trump's base still as solid as it's always been, or do Republican candidates run a risk as Donald Trump's approval ratings are literally as low as they've almost ever been? Dan, your quick thought. We'll come right back on the other side.
I think the base is eroding a little bit. His poll numbers are low, but we'll get into it after the break here.
We certainly will. Folks, you're not going to want to go anywhere. We're going to take some of your calls and thoughts. Text and phone lines are open. What do you think of the candidate slate so far? Are there any fence sitters that you think need to be in. 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Monday to each and every one of you. I've got two very fine, very smart men to help me this afternoon and help each and every one of us understand the state of the Wisconsin governor's race. We've got lots of people throwing their hats into the ring. Many, many folks still on the fence, especially from the Democratic side. But we do know that two Dems are in and definitely in. That is Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, as well as Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. A couple of things on these candidates. And Matt, excuse me, Dan, I'd like to get your thoughts. Matt thought these are very good candidates. I think they'll set a good bar for the level of political discourse that needs to happen. And here's what I appreciate about both of these candidates. One, David Crowley has had to do some very difficult things in Milwaukee County. He faces challenges fiscally every day. He's put together balanced budgets. He's worked across the aisle. Now, while County Executive Crowley's name recognition may be low across the state, a lot of Republican elected officials in the legislature and Senate are very well acquainted with David, and most of them speak quite highly of him, both as a negotiator and as someone who is a reasonable Democrat that they can work with. I also respect the fact that he comes to the table now with years of experience as an executive. I can say the same for Sarah. And the lieutenant governor, she has seen Governor Evers try to craft budgets with a legislature that is of the opposing party. She knows how difficult that is. She has seen an executive branch at work. One of the earmarks that I always put down and that I suggest to people that they use to evaluate candidates is, has this person ever been responsible for running anything in its entirety, whether that's in the private sector or the public sector? And secondly, when it comes to their government work, have they only ever sat in the legislature? Have they only ever sat in a seat that is electorally quite safe? In other words, have they really had to sell and implement their ideas in environments that are both fiscally and politically challenging? It's one thing to promise people the world. It's another thing to get a gosh darn thing done. My fear is a few of the candidates that are considering throwing their hats in the ring, well, a little thin if you're using the Maggie Dawn barometer of what makes a successful candidate for an executive branch office. Dan, your thoughts on some of the maybes, and that is a rubric, as well as your thoughts on the lieutenant governor and the Milwaukee County executive.
Yeah, I think that is part of why I think David Crowley's candidacy is an interesting one because he has experience in Madison and he has experience running, you know, the most populous county in the state. So I do think, you know, that certainly is an important part of his resume and, you know, of the potential candidates who might be running. So you mentioned Rodriguez and Crowley are in. I would expect Josh Call, Attorney General Josh Call, to be running in this race as well. I would expect State Senator Kelda Royce to be running in this race. As well, we'll see some other names. We saw some news this morning from now Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. Looks like she might be going more for the lieutenant governor route. But I think overall, you've got a pretty interesting mix of candidates that have what you talked about in that background, where there is a mix of legislating and, kind of more leadership type of experience. But I think, again, there's going to be some surprises thrown at us eventually when it comes to these candidates. This is the first time we've had an open seat in Wisconsin for governor's race since 2010. It'll be 16 years between that. So I think that's going to invite people from all across the political spectrum to take their shot now. And I think there's going to be some interesting candidacies over the course of this as well. And then, down ballot in for other offices, too. If Sarah Rodriguez is running for governor, that creates an opening for lieutenant governor. If Sarah Godlewski is running for lieutenant governor, that creates an opening for Secretary of State. So there's going to be a lot of different races throughout this field that are going to be pretty interesting as this takes shape over the next year.
Yeah, and if Josh Call's running for governor, there's an opening for AG, and I think Maggie Dawn was to throw her head in there.
Oh, Matt, you flatter me, and it is gratefully accepted. Yeah, these cascading or the domino impacts of who ends up running for these races, that has always been part of the political mix. It's a little wonky, but it asks some very interesting questions about who might be looking to gain some name recognition, maybe not ready now, but looking towards the future. We've got Mike from Cedarburg on the line. Mike, say hello to Matt and Dan. What would you like to share or ask this afternoon?
Well, first of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
And I think you would be a really good attorney general. And let me give you my background, because I'm retired. I'm a progressive Democrat all my life. I'm 77 years old and a retired police officer. At 15 years in a tactical squad. I'm so tired of the Milwaukee politicians not paying our police officers, my head's going to explode. As far as Rodriguez, I'm sorry. You know why Tammy Baldwin's so impressive in the state on both sides? She gets all over the state. So we need a Democratic candidate, and I give credit to everybody that's going to support everybody in this state, like my daughter's farms north of Highway 10. Governor Evers was terrific. Nobody even gives him credit for the great tax break he's given to all the retirees this year. Nobody's ever mentioned it. And I'll leave you with this. I was very disappointed in WAUK not covering my brother's funeral, because that is where you guys screwed up. But Maggie, I love your show, and I think your head is straight on.
Brother, thank you so much for that. Every loss of life of someone who serves and protects our communities should be acknowledged reverentially. We can hold conflicting, difficult thoughts in our head at the same time. We can talk about rebuilding trust and give the respect that is due to the women and men that serve in blue. We're going to take a small little breath here. I'm going to come back with Matt. We're going to talk about one of the GOP maybe runs, some of the lies that he's spinning on national TV. Don't go away.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News Brief, a shooting at a Midtown Manhattan office building left four people dead, and the shooting, his motive unclear, killed himself. Mayor Eric Adams.
Tonight we mourn for those who were killed, and we pray for the families as they go through this painful moment.
36-year-old police officer Diderol Islam was one of those killed. CBS News New York reporter Jennifer Bisram describes a massive police presence at the scene.
You got to think, this is after work. This is dinner time. People expecting to just, you know, regular Monday evening, getting home to their family or spending time with friends and loved ones, and then on lockdown.
CBS News correspondent Deborah Patton reports aid organizations say much more food assistance is needed to combat the starvation threatening Palestinians in Gaza.
The World Food Program is currently getting in 60 trucks a day. It says it needs around 500 to 600 in order to make a dent in this crisis.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
The Brewers back in first place. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with an 8-4 win over the Cubs in Milwaukee. That put the Brewers back in first place, a game ahead of Chicago. Cubs lefty Matthew Boyd had been the hottest pitcher in the league, but gave up 5 earned runs off of 6 hits in 5 innings pitched. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I don't think Boyd had his best stuff. We took our walks. You don't see him walking that many guys in a game ever. So I love that part of it. What a day for Contreras and Yelich to come up big.
NFL Packers training camp continues today in Green Bay. In Madison, the Wisconsin Badgers packing up the team bus, headed to UW-Platteville to begin training camp. Defensive coordinator Mike Tressel on what he told his players.
Talk about our defensive objectives. Our guys have looked at every single day since spring ball. These are the numbers that put you in the top 10 defense in the nation in each of those areas.
That's Badgers defensive coach Mike Tressel with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. As far as episodic TV goes, nothing gets me more excited than a well-done cop show. There have been 2 spinoffs so far from the Amazon Prime cop show Bosch, a show about a stubborn, uncompromising police detective played by Titus Welliver. In a new cop show, Welliver heads up the cast in Westies. According to Collider, Welliver plays Glenn Keenan, a Vietnam vet and gritty beat cop. The story is set in the early 80s in Hell's Kitchen in New York and follows the Westies, a real-life Irish street gang, as they try to carve out a piece of the action despite being a much smaller force than the Mafia's 5 families of New York. Welliver calls his character deeply corrupt and very dark, but also nuanced. Joining him in the cast are J.K. Simmons, Tom Brittany, Jessica Francis Duke, and just added additions Sarah Bulger and Stanley Morgan. The Westies will drop on MGM Plus sometime in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Increasing clouds and showers and storms developing in the overnight. Heavy rainfall our biggest concern, and morning lows in the upper 60s. On Tuesday, showers, a few storms around, partly sunny skies with a northwest wind, highs in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 70.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, we're joined by Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And at 5 o'clock, I engage with Professor Mariel Barnes about violence against women, gender, and the Epstein scandal next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Big, big thanks to Dan Schaefer, our political editor, for joining me and Matt Rothschild for the first half hour of our program. We are talking about the governor's race. We'll be talking about it a lot because it is the political action and potentially quite the harbinger for how Democrats may perform in the presidential race in 2028. We've been discussing those candidates that have clearly declared. My colleague Todd Alba had Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez on his program before this one today. I'll have the Lieutenant Governor on tomorrow. I'd venture to think that I might have some different questions for her, you know, given that she is a woman. The first woman that I'm aware of to hold the position of lieutenant governor in the state. So we will get into it with Sarah Rodriguez tomorrow. Matt, during the break, you and I started to broach a topic that I don't think is talked about nearly enough. And that is the fact that it has become a very hostile environment on the right side of the political spectrum for female candidates. Rebecca Clayfish, who was the lieutenant governor from the Republican side, of course, under Scott Walker, and I misspoke. I meant from the Democratic side. I think Sarah Rodriguez is the first.
No, we had Barbara Lawton.
Barbara Lawton. That's right, Matt. Thank you so much. See, this is why we do this work together, my friend. Got to get those live fact checks. You know, Rebecca Clayfish was the lieutenant governor. She has run for statewide office subsequently and basically got sandbagged, drummed out, smack-talked, sort of bullied out of the race. And that brought up, for me, the race by Judge Jennifer Doerr for Supreme Court, eventually lost by Dan Kelly to Janet Protasiewicz. But Dan Kelly was downright rude, dismissive, and condescending towards Judge Doerr. There is a problem. When I talk to my conservative and Republican female friends, they know that there's a problem within the Republican Party of Wisconsin. They know, as they have well observed, that female statewide candidates have not been supported by the party. I can't think that that's any better now than it was a few years ago. What's your take on that, Matt? And certainly, folks, you want to get in on this discussion, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Matt?
Yeah, they traded in two really good candidates, female candidates, for two really bad male candidates who lost. I mean, Rebecca Clayfish, she'd served loyally as lieutenant governor. She went to every Republican county chicken dinner for 4 years or 5 years, and she had a clear lead in the polls, and the big boys got together and said, you can't have it. We're going to have another billionaire candidate run against her and take it away. And Judge Doerr, who had presided over that Christmas parade attack.
Criminal trial,
a very public trial, did a really good job in administering it, as far as I can tell from up here in Madison. And she was running a good campaign. And then, you know, they brought Dan Kelly back, and Dan Kelly was very unpopular the first time he lost. And guess what? He lost again.
Still unpopular.
Just about the same margin.
The interesting thing, and I'll just say this, and it does dovetail with my guest at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. She's the CEO of a large communications firm here in Milwaukee called Mueller Communications. We're talking about women in leadership position, in executive C-suite leadership positions. And it occurs to me, if I were the chair of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, and I had a major policy liability in terms of the unpopularness of the reversal of Roe v. Wade, right? If I knew that I had a weak spot on a very transactional and perhaps transparent basis, I'd be actively looking for female conservative candidates. I also think there has been such a massive well of very regressive, I think some could fairly call it, but sort of anti-woman rhetoric from the right. To not lose or not bleed voters, it would seem to me that finding a conservative female candidate for not just the gubernatorial race here in the state of Wisconsin, but elsewhere, would be quite to the brand advantage of Republicans. Jacob popping in on our studio line here saying he thinks Clayfish will eventually throw in. I'm not so sure about that. I think, and I'll just speak from my own experience, when a system, and I'll talk about the law firms I worked for, when a law firm that I worked for basically treated me about as badly as someone could be treated, I had no interest in trying that again with that law firm. I was looking elsewhere. It wasn't that she just lost. It was the system mobilized to discredit her, to discredit Jennifer Doro. There was no consequences for those that spoke about those women candidates in absolutely derisive and derogatory terms on the right. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about just the beat. I'm talking about the reason and how they were beat in those primaries. 855-752-4842. It's a weak spot for Republicans.
Yeah, it's
they went with Tim Michaels, again, an out-of-touch billionaire. It seems to me that the Republican Party in the state has missed big time with very, very highly qualified female candidates. We'll see if they repeat that playbook here.
There's one possible candidate. State Senate President Mary Felskowski's name's been thrown around a little bit. I don't know how serious that is, but you're right about Rebecca Clayfish. She got Jones so bad that she was understandably bitter, and maybe she just doesn't have the stomach for going back to, you know, the same folks who deprived it of her the first time.
Yeah, John, texting in on our text line for Madison. You know, this is more autocratic fantasies from Republicans. Of course, they put the cavemen in there. More testosterone, please. I can hear that. And I think, you know, again, Rebecca Clayfish and Judge Doro, you can't argue with the facts, what was said on the record about these candidates. And anyone that's familiar with those campaigns, off the record, has been very, very clear about what's happened. It is sexist at the very least. I think it is harmful to the Republican Party. If they think they can transact in misogyny and win some votes right now, that will eventually catch up with you. You cannot bash qualified women in this way forever and have that work. Women do vote. Nasty women vote. I'll just say that. I am one of those nasty women, and I will be voting. Jim from Brookfield, say hello to Matt. What do you got for us this afternoon?
Hello, Matt. Hello, Maggie. I just wanted to add that the anti-Rebecca Clayfish, i.e. woman feeling or sentiment from the right on the Republicans, that goes all the way back to 2010 when she did win lieutenant governor. She was not the candidate that Scott Walker endorsed. And as we know, they don't run as a combined ticket. It's separate. Walker preferred Brett Davis, you know, and Clayfish really snuck in there. And then Walker had to, like, do a quick, well, yeah, I like her too. You know, she's my mm-hmm. running mate. But she never, you know, and I think it strictly is, being female, never had the support of the Republican bigwigs.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Jim. Appreciate your call. Wes from Middleton says this. I said it on Todd's program, and I'll say it again here. I might be biased because I'm a nurse as well, but put any RN or registered nurse against your best, quote, self-made, end quote, businessman, typically a generationally rich Nepo baby, or career politician, and we will run circles around them. I think people are sleeping on Sarah Godelewski, and she's giving me some Whitmer energy, and I think she could be a force. Again, I think whether a candidate is female or male, people that have done stuff, not just been in politics, people who have had to run things, whether that's an entire county government or been a lieutenant governor or worked in the private sector, and they're bringing some of that expertise into government, that have had to return results, have had to speak to either a broad group of employees that have all sorts of different political persuasions or a broad group of voters, whatever that may be. You need people that have actually proven that they can get things done, that they can compromise, and that they don't simply just take an ideological playbook out and trot talking points. I don't think that works as a political matter, right or left, in the state of Wisconsin. I think you can point to Tony Evers very clearly as a candidate who had regular guy energy, who was trying to get things done, and who didn't just bear hug all of the talking points that came from the party. And that, to Wisconsinites, they might not agree with every single policy of Tony Evers, but they felt confident that he was actually looking out for them. If we see from Berrien, from Washington County Executive Showman, other Republican candidates, simply a regurgitation of MAGA talking points, listen, they do so at their own peril. Maybe somebody will get smart, but I just don't think that's going to work well. One of the things that I wanted to take a look at this afternoon, Matt, is Tom Tiffany is largely thought to be in the running for governor. He is yet to formally announce, but I think we've got time for his interview on Fox News, a little bit of sound here. Let's take that, and we'll get into debunking some of the complete, utter avalanche of garbage that comes out of his mouth in this interview point. But let's take a listen. This is Congressman Tom Tiffany spewing a bunch of nonsensical lies on Fox News that apparently is doubling for his stump speech for governor.
Wisconsin is going in the direction of the failed, our failed neighbors, Minnesota and Illinois. And there's going to be a real simple choice for the people of Wisconsin in 2026. Do we want to be one of the prosperous states of America? Or are we going to be like one of the failed states? I mean, you look at our governor and the Democrats, he just passed a budget that's going to leave a deficit going into the next governor's administration. Our educational system, remember, Tony Evers, who's the current governor, he always claimed himself to be the education governor. Our kids have fallen behind Mississippi. There's tens of thousands of kids that cannot read and write in Wisconsin at grade level, and we have among the highest energy costs in the Midwest as we convert to these intermittent sources of power like wind and solar. We can do so much better. We have a simple choice coming up in 2026. Are we going to be like one of the failed states like our neighbors, or are we going to be one of the prosperous states of America?
Oh, it's just so stupid. I have fact-checked legitimately every little tidbit of that spewing of the garbage from Congressman Tom Tiffany. It's exactly the kind of thing that I think Wisconsinites don't want. And I can be more specific, that I think swing voters and independents, conservatives and liberals and Republicans and Democrats of good faith don't want to hear, which is a bunch of lies, misdirections, and talking points that isn't addressing, hey, Tom, what would you actually do? And how would you do it with divided government in the state of Wisconsin? We're going to take apart every bit of that nonsense from Congressman Tom Tiffany with Matt Rothschild, you and me on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We debunk the lies next on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day.
Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest with me this first hour. You can find him here every Monday. His name is Matt Rothschild, host of the Wisconsin Forward podcast that you can find at civicmedia.us and wherever you get your favorite podcasts from. Have you missed a Maggie Dawn Show episode? Don't worry, you can find them there as well, including Spotify and Apple Pods. Matt, during the break, we were talking about the fact that at least from a very high level, it seems to me that we have had basically two types of GOP candidates. There is the Tom Tiffany, Glenn Grothman, Derek Van Orten sort of Trump is my puppet master, as well as all of the other billionaire overlord types. And I just take the marching orders and the talking points and spit them out at people. And then you have what I'm going to call like the slick salesman types that know very little about government. In fact, show open disdain for learning anything about government, but they sound pretty good, and boy, they got some good hair. And they're very, very rich. I'm talking about the Tim Michaels, the Eric Hovdes, and the Tony Weeds. Mm-hmm. It's like GOP Wisconsin version. Do you have any other flavors of Republicans, right? And I'm going to put Robin Voss in the category with the Grothmans and the DVOs, just taking the marching orders. seems to me they've been stuck in this terrible refrain for far too long.
Yeah, and this Tiffany claim that Wisconsin's a failed state, it's not a good sell either. I mean, no one wants to say we're living in a failed state. Not many people in Wisconsin actually feel they're in a failed state. Tommy Thompson would never say Wisconsin's a failed state. He was the biggest cheerleader for the state that the Republicans have ever had. So the two things Tiffany is saying is Wisconsin's a failed state, and the second thing, as you point out, that he always says is, you know, Trump is the greatest. So he's going to lash himself to Trump, who's diving right now, especially with independent voters. And then he's doing this stupid failed state slogan, which isn't going to get him anywhere. So I don't see him being a big success here.
No, Jacob, one more time for those that missed it. Let's take a listen. This is Tom Tiffany, Congressman Tom Tiffany, would-be candidate for governor for Republicans on Fox News. Take a listen.
Wisconsin is going in the direction of our failed neighbors, Minnesota and Illinois. And there's going to be a real simple choice for the people of Wisconsin in 2026. Do we want to be one of the prosperous states of America, or are we going to be like one of the failed states? I mean, you look at our governor and the Democrats, he just passed a budget that's going to leave a deficit going into the next governor's administration. Our educational system, and remember, Tony Evers, who's the current governor, he always claimed himself to be the education governor. Our kids have fallen behind Mississippi. There's tens of thousands of kids that cannot read and write in Wisconsin at grade level, and we have among the highest energy costs in the Midwest as we convert to these intermittent sources of power like wind and solar. We can do so much better. We have a simple choice coming up in 2026. We're going to be like one of the failed states like our neighbors, or are we going to be one of the prosperous states of America?
Okay, I promised everybody the fact check. Here it is. Pick your metric. U.S. News and World Report ranks the best states. They look at healthcare, education, roads, bridges, infrastructure, business growth, GDP, blah, blah, blah. Okay, Minnesota's 4, Wisconsin's 17th. Illinois, I don't think is a fair comparison. Lots of problems in Illinois. The opportunityindex.org, a nonpartisan nonprofit, national average for opportunity is 51.9. Wisconsin's at 55. Minnesota's at 60. Paid Nice, it's an organization that'll assess business growth and wage growth. Wisconsin, 21st. Mississippi, 41st. World Population Review. This is rankings by the quality of life. By the way, all these hyperlinks will be in our show notes that you can find wherever you find our podcast. Wisconsin ranks 13th amongst all 50 states in terms of quality of life. Minnesota's at 7, according to the World Population Review. His comments about the deficit. First of all, apparently, Tom Tiffany doesn't understand the difference between budget deficits and structural deficits and what you have to do to resolve those. I'll leave that for another day, but phooey on him. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. The educational system, what he just said is a lie. A blatant lie. I pulled up the National Assessment of Educational Progress, talked to a public teacher. That's the testing that we use to assess proficiency or whether they're at standards. Whether you're looking at math, reading, or science, whether you're looking at fourth or eighth grade, the most recent data shows that Wisconsin is way ahead of Mississippi, except in one measurement, which they think might be a little bit of statistical noise, and that's its composite score for math in fourth grade. We're tied with Mississippi, not worse than. I don't know what Tom Tiffany is talking about, but he needs to stop fear-mongering, slamming good, hardworking Wisconsinites and our good, hardworking public school teachers in your communities and mine who are getting it done for our students. And frankly, any criticisms of the Wisconsin educational system and how it's performing to date, I put squarely on Mr. Tiffany's shoulder, every single Republican legislator in this state, and former Governor Scott Walker for draining public schools on an inflation-adjusted real dollar basis of the funding that they need while they continue to pour more and more taxpayer dollars into entirely unaccountable voucher schools. Shame on you, Tom Tiffany. If we've got a budget challenge, if we've got an educational problem, it's not because of Democrats. It's because of people like you who lie to Wisconsinites. Matt, you get the last thought of the afternoon on this topic.
Well, just look at Mississippi. On education, it's 38th. Wisconsin has 7. That's how big a lie that was.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. Wisconsin deserves better, especially women in the state of Wisconsin. We talk with our very special next guest, CEO of Mueller Communications, about women in the C-suite, what it means for your daughters, granddaughters, and your wages here in the state of Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. An office tower on Manhattan's Park Avenue was the scene of a deadly mass shooting.
Officials say a man carrying a rifle killed 4 people at a New York City office building, including an off-duty NYPD officer. The man wounded a 5th person before taking his own life. NYPD Commissioner Jessica Tisch with more on the officer killed.
Didarul Islam, 36 years old, 4 years on the job. Officer Islam was married with 2 young boys. His wife is pregnant with their 3rd child.
She says the shooter, a man in his 20s from Las Vegas, had a documented mental health history, but the motive is still unknown. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
The building houses NFL offices. Commissioner Roger Goodell issued a statement saying, quote, one of our employees was seriously injured in this attack, and adding, NFL staff are at the hospital, and we are supporting his family. The Chicago Cubs say Hall of Fame...